It's time now for another episode of The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy today. Join us as we step into the Cathedral of Capitalism, the amphitheater of ethical energy and arena for environmental innovations. Every week, the world's leading commanders of crude and guardians of gas share their expert insight and authentic analysis on topics of tomorrow and lessons from the past. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to start living the crude life today.
This is Brooks West in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee. What's going on in Nashville, Tennessee with your music career? Are you down there doing some recording? Are you down there doing some other work? What's going on in Nashville?
Well, there's always stuff going on in Nashville. It's super busy. The president was in town messing up the roads yesterday, and today I got the day off because I'm teaching, and it's spring break. It's first day spring break. So I'm happy about that.
What's happening? What's happening with the music career down in Nashville? Are you playing any gigs? Are you writing any songs?
Writing some songs. I've just started writing some new songs again. I put out a new record in 2015, and that I'm extremely proud of that. It's been a really good record for me, and I'm still playing a lot of those songs. But I'm trying to write some new ones. I've got a couple friends that I write with up here from time to time, especially my buddy Rhett McDaniel. He came over and we wrote one last week. So I'm excited to bring some of those new songs out this summer.
Now, some of your past songs have been either maybe political or somewhat newsworthy, and then you've had songs that haven't. What sort of lyrics are you writing these days?
It's a little bit more kind of personal, soul-searching stuff, a little bit of relationship stuff. When I talk to my friend Rhett, you know, we just sit down usually and just chat just about the way things are. We talk about kind of the state of the world. We talk about politics a little bit, although we don't write things that are overtly political. You know, you tend to write things, or we tend to write things that are just happen to be from our point of view. And inside that, there's a little bit of politics. You know, your personal politics are always going to come out. But it seems like whenever I try to write something that's really political, it comes off a little bit heavy-handed if it's not through the right lens. So I try not to do that too much.
What's going on in the music business these days? Are artists making any money now? I know that we've had this huge paradigm shift since iTunes came in and the internet came out, and you know, it's gotten to the point to where a song is almost like a commercial for your live event. So what's going on in the music world?
That is a good question. I think a lot of people are still trying to figure it out. The streaming stuff, it seems like nobody's making any real money there. People do hear the songs, you know, if they're on Spotify or if they're on the Apple streaming service or if they're on any of the other kind of streaming services. But I, even with my friends that I know are successful and are full-time musicians, I don't see them making a ton of money. It really does come from touring, playing shows, all different kinds of shows. There's been a big shift in the last couple of years to house concerts in acoustic music. Even some of the greatest musicians that I know still play a lot of house concerts, where they'll go into a person's home and they'll have 20 or 30 or 40 of their friends come, and they'll all pay a cover, and they'll set up a little PA, and they'll have wine and cheese, and then they'll have a show in their house. So I've seen a big change of that. You know, I've seen a lot of that in singer-songwriter music, acoustic music, bluegrass music. A lot of those house concerts are happening. You know, and it seems like one of the only kind of things where people can really go and make a little bit of money and sell some CDs and connect with people on a real grassroots level.
So
I've seen a big switch to that.
So you mentioned the Spotify, and you know, I'll almost compare that to the old radio days where you got to get the spins, you got to get played on some sort of third-party medium, whether it's for the validation, whether it's for their distribution of the centralized audience, whatever it might be. You found, because correct me if I'm wrong, but you were on Spotify for a while and some of these other services?
Some of my music is on Spotify. I did not put the new record on Spotify on purpose, because the numbers are just so sickeningly low. It's like hundredths of a cent for a play, or thousandths of a cent. So you can literally have hundreds and hundreds of plays and be making almost no money. You know, there was an article that came out, I think it was this last year, about the Pharrell song. happy. You have 24 million plays. He made less than $5,000 for 24 million plays. And he's like an A-list artist.
Right,
so
yeah.
He doesn't make any money on Spotify.
So here the it's just a way for centralized distribution then, and then a way for Spotify to sell ads. Is that right?
Yeah, they sell ads and they have subscribers. So, you know, if you pay your, I'm not sure what a subscribership costs to Spotify, but, you know, you pay your $6 a month to have unlimited streaming music, and you have access to nearly the entire world's music library, and you can just stream all day long. And you know, they say that subscriber money, you know, some of that, of course, goes to corporate to pay the people that run Spotify. And they say that some of it goes to the artist, but the amount that actually ends up going into artist's pocket is so infinitesimally low. It's shocking. It really is shocking. Even when I look at my plays and I've got thousands of plays, I'm like, oh, I get 18 cents. It's like, huh. It's very interesting, and I've never seen a real financial breakdown of how things work at those companies. So I don't know exactly what their financial model is, but I do know none of that money's coming my way.
With Brooks West, musician, Nashville, Tennessee, also a North Dakota native. So obviously, okay, so you've got to get house shows, you've got to get ticket sales, you've got to get merchandise sales then in order to make some money too. Do you sell your album online? Do you sell t-shirts? Do you sell keychains? I guess talk to me a little bit about those record sales or CD sales or MP3 sales or download sales. I don't even know what the right term is anymore. And then the merchandise.
Yeah, digital downloads. iTunes is always really good. iTunes is good when people download the record. That's great. Of the $9.99 that you pay, I think I see $6.37. So that's really great. You know, iTunes takes their, you know, $3.63. And I get the rest. And it's great because I don't provide a physical product at that point. And they do provide a great service. And you do get a fair chunk of the money. You can order physical copies at cdbaby.com/Brooks West, and they manage all that kind of thing, and they also help put your music out to other streaming services and other download services. So downloads are good. Streams don't really make that much money, but still, excuse me, I've got a little cold here. Selling physical CDs at shows is where I make most of my money. You know, when people come to a show and they see the show and they enjoy the music, then they can buy the CD right there. And people still do like to buy CDs. But still, people still listen a lot on their phone. I've had people at shows that will go right to iTunes on their phone and will download the record at the show, and then they can listen to it on their phone through their Bluetooth on their car stereo on the way home. So people do buy CDs, but there's still a lot of downloads that happen.
How about T-shirts or keychains or anything like that?
T-shirts are great. I did T-shirts last year when the record came out. The only downside to T-shirts and keychains and koozies and 12-inch record albums and flash waters and all that kind of stuff is that when you're driving around, it takes up a lot of space. You know, so you do have to have some inventory. So I usually do order a couple of T-shirts before I go out, maybe have 50 or 60 T-shirts with me. I might do some zip-ups this year, some hoodies, because I do like a zip-up hoodie. But, you know, you still kind of have to guess a little bit. You don't want to order, like, you know, you don't want to order $1,000 worth of T-shirts and then have all the wrong sizes. And you don't want to carry around, you know, 8 totes of T-shirts with you all summer long in your minivan. But, you know, if you're careful, you can kind of guess and order and get some shirts going there and, you know, make a little money off of those. But T-shirts are just nice because they're an advertising tool. You know, you get people out there wearing your T-shirt and they walk around and they're like, oh, who's Brooks West? You know, they're like, what's that? And, you know, people spread the word through mouth about your band, and, you know, people see that and they become familiar with it, especially a place like Fargo, or when I go back to Harrisburg, and those are places that I go back to a lot, then people... You get a couple more people out at every show just because of the advertising quality of a T-shirt. So those are nice. Just kind of a drag to carry them around.
So what's on tap for the summer now? You've got some tours you're going to be happening. I imagine you're going to head to Fargo. You're going to head to Harrisburg. You got any other places you're going to be heading to?
I'm going to swing through Chicago and Minneapolis and Duluth. I try to go up to Duluth every summer. I try to go to Minneapolis every summer. Over the years, I feel like I've just got so many friends in those places. It's wonderful to go up and see all those people and to kind of retouch some of those old connections. And I just love it. You know, especially they're both so beautiful in the summertime with the lakes and all of that kind of stuff. I just love it. I'm playing at Beaner's Central, which is a great little coffee shop and bar music. It's a music centered place. I'll be there in late June. Same with a brand new place in Minneapolis called the Warming Room, or the Warming House, excuse me. And that's an artist-owned listening room in Minneapolis. I think it seats about 50 people, and that's always it's always fun to visit Minneapolis. But my friend Brianna Lane and her partner Greg Neese have started that place, so I'm excited to play there for the first time. It'll be great to see them. So Minneapolis, Duluth. I'm looking for a place in Chicago right now. So I haven't booked anything in Chicago, but I know I'm going to be stopping there. So we'll see what comes as far as dates. And then getting back to Harrisburg. I think I've got three shows there, two in Harrisburg and one in Gettysburg. So that'll be nice to get back there too. I lived there for 7 years, so it's always nice to see old friends and coworkers and people that used to come out to shows and, touch base there too.
That must be kind of fun if you're on the road and you decide you're going to stay a few extra nights. All you got to do is really work the phones for a little bit, don't you? Try to get maybe a bar or a coffee shop or something to, you know, at least cover your hotel expenses if you guys want to stay on the road. I mean, you know, it's kind of overtime, so you got a little negotiating power. Do you guys ever do that?
Oh, sure. You know, the network is pretty good. So, you know, if I talk to my friends who are singer-songwriters who play in Chicago a lot, you know, I can call Josh Hardy. And I can ask him, you know, where's a good place in Chicago? Is there a good gig that I can get in Chicago or someplace where people will be into my music? You know, he's always good for a couple phone numbers. There's lots of people like that I've just met over the years. I can just give them a jingle and ask them, where's a good place? So it's not too hard to pick up. And if you've got a fairly decent reputation, you got a good website, you got a nice CD, people are usually pretty happy to have you.
All
right. Not too bad. It really is just a couple phone calls, a couple of emails. And if you've got a good reputation and a couple friends, you can get shows pretty easily.
All right. How about the website and all that information stuff that people can get your CDs, your merchandise, and find out more information about Brooks West, a singer-songwriter extraordinaire?
BrooksWestMusic.com.
Brooks
redesigned the whole website this last week. It looks really good. I'm proud of it.
BrooksWest.com, a newly redesigned website. BrooksWest.com, correct?
BrooksWestMusic.com.
BrooksWestMusic.com. BrooksWestMusic.com. The newly redesigned BrooksWestMusic.com.
That's it.
The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy. Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.